This morning? No. Oh. Thank you. Thanks for your initiative and your service. God will bless you, but I'm keeping that there. I'll tell you why in a minute. I am, okay, our verse. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 26. What then shall we say, brothers? When you come together, everyone has a hymn or a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. All these must be done for the strengthening of the church. You know, there's another verse in Ephesians, talks about all of gifts, and that the church builds itself up in love as we each bring our part. I say that is because maybe the spirit of this verse a little bit, where people come and bring different things, is what we're going to do this morning. I have I've been really encouraged with different things that are happening in our church, from the family teams, the married teams, to outreaches, to student retreats. And yet I don't know if all this information is overlapping into us all. And I go, well, I want you guys to be as encouraged as I am. And so this is what I want to do, is I want to hear from different people. I want to hear faith stories, ways God has impacted them, ways they're running after God. And I want to just share some of my perspectives about some of the things I'm just really encouraged about in our church. Some of it will be kind of announcement related. Some of it will be kind of vision related. And I thought that if you guys sat back a little bit and heard stories, that it would be a really encouraging Sunday. And what I really mean by that is, when the Christian life is lived out, and you get to watch somebody grabbing faith, you get to watch somebody living it, you get to hear about somebody struggling with it and winning, for me, it's inspiring. For me, it's encouraging. For me, I leave and I go, I'm going to have the same type of faith. For me, I leave and I go, my brothers are undergoing the same type of suffering. There's fellowship. There's oneness. And my prayer here this morning is that just in hearing from one another, our church just shrinks a little bit, if you know what I mean by that. So that's where we're going. That's our Sunday. We'll see kind of how it goes. So I'd like to pray for us, and then we'll go from there. God, how amazing it is for us that you have given us a part in this story. God, we tell you we don't deserve a part, but you've looked at us and said you've empowered us to influence one another, to love one another, to inspire one another, to bring who we are, and that makes a difference. And I want to thank you for that. God, I thank you that you are the worthy one. You're the one who all glory goes to. God, you are the one that has brought Jesus and has changed us and is in the process of changing us. God, I thank you for your wonderful cross this morning. I thank you for the wonderful sacrifice of Jesus. I thank you for all that that sacrifice brings to the world. And I thank you for the hope that is in you. And I pray this morning you'd fill us with hope and that you'd encourage us, God, to live another week following you and in faith with you. Thank you for our church. God, help us be more thankful for it, God, after today. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so the first thing I want to do is let's talk about the students. The students had a retreat recently, and so I want them to talk about it. So, Sean, why don't you intro us up? Yeah. I left a microphone for you.
All right, 3 minutes on the clock. Otherwise, I'll go longer. So I just wanted to give a state of the well address, what we're doing, how we're doing it, because it was brought to my attention that this half of the room doesn't quite know exactly what goes on that campus. So we do a few different meetings throughout the week. Tuesdays, I'm just going to speak this way, even though I know we have some back there. So anyway, but on Tuesday nights, we do a Bible study. This semester, though, the topic's been apologetics. And so we did some outreach last semester, and one of the things that I realized was there's just a lot of questions out there that a lot of us feel like we didn't have the answers to. And so we chose four big topics: validity of the Bible, which is actually what we're going through now, resurrection of Christ, Noah's flood, and then creationism versus evolutionism. Basically, we spend a couple weeks on each topic, and we walk through whether or not these topics are real or not, and how to defend them and engage in conversations with the hope of gaining more confidence ourselves, but also being able to engage and interact with others, so as it says in Timothy, so as to bring them to the truth that they don't have. So on Thursday nights, we started a new group called Discipleship Groups, or DGs. We have five groups led by five different leaders on five different topics. And so the students chose to be part of that, signed a commitment letter, and are walking through. We defined it as Discipleship 202 rather than Christianity 101. So it was a little bit above what we do. There's expectations that they're doing stuff outside the meeting, that they're showing up, and that they're bringing themselves to it. Fridays, we do social events every other week. We just painted pumpkins and supposedly watched Stranger Things. It's a show on Netflix. They all know. They watch it too. So, 50 seconds. And then Saturday mornings, we're walking through a book called Making Peace with Your Past. Jason leads that. It's ongoing spiritual healing from last semester that a lot of the church did. And then a lot of us on Sundays come here. But we take living life together as part of our vision statement, as our vision statement as well. We really try to live together and do some just life together. I think it's been really successful, and we had so many students. Are you sleeping, Tara? What the heck? We had so many students volunteer to want to speak up here today that I actually had to just choose two, and so I chose Caitlin and Christian, and it just so happens Christian's family's here today, which was nice as well. Anyway, I think a lot of good stuff's going on, but I'm excited to hear from these two specifically. I think that... Anyway, I think they have a lot to share that you'll be encouraged by, and I didn't push stop, I pushed repeat, so there we go. Anyway, so we're going to have Christian go first, and then Caitlin, and clap really loud after both of them, so.
Good morning, guys. My name is Christian, if I haven't met a lot of you guys. I am a sophomore at ASU, and I am currently a civil engineering student. So besides all the stuff that we're doing in the well, I'm up till like 3 in the morning doing homework. No, I'm just kidding. It's not that bad. But it is pretty busy. And so I went to LT. I've been part of the well for a year now. And it's been, like, just amazing to have, I have, like, Alex discipling me, and so that's been, like, just awesome. Being able to, like, talk to him, ask him questions and stuff like that. And then having, like, Sean being there to, like, because I'm leading one of the discipleship groups for humility. And so having Sean there is really, like, awesome just to, like, even lifestyle that goes on or, like, how to handle, like, meeting people where they're at and stuff like that has been really cool. But throughout the semester, I think the biggest thing for me has been, it's really simple, but like the implication of it is really profound. It's just God showing me his goodness and his love. And like what I mean by that is like, a lot of the times, I mean, Paul will talk about like renewing of your mind and like all of like these things. And I think a lot of times we have like a head knowledge of, yeah, oh yeah, God loves me. Yeah, Jesus died on the cross. Like all of like these things that, man, I think for me just personally, I took for granted for many years. It's just like some of the words that just you repeat all the time. And when you say them, it doesn't mean a lot to you. And so, yeah, like with that, there was a verse like, love your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Like that is the greatest commandment. And for a while, I thought that was selfish. Like, God, why would you ask that from me? I love my family so much. Like, why would you do that? I love all like these certain parts of my lives, certain parts of my life. And you want me to love you with all my heart, my mind, my soul, my strength. Like, why? And it just, yeah, for a while, it just seemed so selfish. Until like walking in discipleship and kind of like surrendering different parts of my life, some of that stuff started to make sense. And like certain things like humbleness, like you say to be the greatest is to be a servant. Like, okay, like I don't understand. Be content. Like Paul talks about learning to be content. Like how is being content like supposed to be this amazing thing? How is that supposed to make me love you more and love Jesus more? And like, don't be anxious for anything. Like, and so like, there's like these different verses that I kind of didn't connect with me of like, why does all of this point to God loving me? And so with all that, I think like God says, man, I want you to see yourself as who you really are, because like, if you want to see my love, if you want to experience my grace, like see me as I truly am, then you will have to humble yourself. Like if you want, like being a servant is not just sacrificing your time in a bad thing. Like experiencing serving people and loving people is like so amazing and so full of joy. Like that's what I want. It's like for you to be in community, for you to love people, serve, and just things like that. And then like with family, I had like a lot of, my family has been going through like a lot of hard stuff. And it's been like, even before the summer, like there was just, yeah, just a lot of hard things going on at home. And when I think about like God, and when I think about like my brother and sister, like I would never want something to hurt like my brother and sister. Like I love them so dearly. Like they're just like these precious children that I care so much about. Like you look him in the eyes and you're like, man, like I love you so much. Like you don't even know how much I love you. Like I wouldn't want anything to hurt you. And I think like throughout all like the stuff that's been going on with my family, God's like said, man, like you think you love your brother and sister so much. Like just imagine like how much I love you. Like you are my child. You are my son. I don't like it when sin hurts you. Like I don't like it when you involve yourself with sin. Like I love you so, so dearly. And so just seeing God's love through that is like, man, you look at me like your dear, precious child. And you don't like it when sin and other things hurt me. And then because I'm leading the humility group, I think one of the things I struggle with like a lot growing up was just simply pride. And like when you, in the back, even though like on the front, it'd be like, oh yeah, I don't deserve all these things. But like really there's parts of me like, man, like I tried hard for like scholarships or like all these different things. And being able to kind of like understand the good part of like realizing how undeserving we are. Like, man, like I don't deserve to have like a loving family. I don't deserve to have like brothers and sisters that love me so dearly. I don't deserve to go to college and have all of these things like just given to me. And just kind of realizing like, wow, God, like you are the creator and I'm the created, and I did nothing to deserve your love. I did nothing to deserve Jesus dying for me. And just, yeah, kind of trying to, like even pride, it's like pride is so ingrained in our culture, and it can be hard to fight against pride, like hard to tell myself I don't deserve things, hard to tell myself that the knowledge and wisdom that you have is not from you, but it's from God. Like all like these certain things can be so hard to tell myself and remind myself daily. But then, like, how God's love ties into all this is like, man, God, you want me to see myself as nothing without you, because you want me to see you as, like, you want yourself to be my desire, and you want me to love you. And a way in doing that is seeing, like, how nothing I am without you. Like, even submission has been, like, it's, like, can be one of those things where it's hard. Like, you want me to follow Jesus? Like, you want me to give up everything I have for you? Like, why would you ask that from me? And it's like, no, like, don't you see the good I have for you? Like, don't you see how, like, following me, you get to experience my love. You get to experience, like, love of other people. Like, my love outflows. Like, my love pours out of you. Like, don't you see that? Like, don't you see I don't want you to be anxious? Don't you see that? All, like, these good things I want from you. Like, it's a process of just surrendering and giving up certain stuff. And so, yeah, like, it's just this basic concept of God's love and, like, how God's not selfish. God, when he asks things from us, when he asks us to obey his commandments, like, Jesus didn't come to, like, put away the law, but to fulfill it. And God, like, gives us his law. Like, this is how you can love me and love other people. And, like, by obeying these certain commandments, it's, like, all because God loves us and not because he's selfish. And, like, humility, like, putting other people above myself, thinking of myself less, it's not because God's like, hey, I don't care about you. Like, I saved you for this time, and now go help other people get to know me. He's like, no, like, I want you to know me more, like, and I want you to bring other people to know me too. And so, yeah, it's just kind of how God's love impacts different parts of my life. And it's been, like, really amazing just to kind of, like, remind myself daily of, I don't deserve this. Remind myself of the gospel. Like, the gospel, I think, or people who grew up in the church can get, like, really just like, oh, I heard this, like, a ton of times. But, like, reminding myself that, man, like, the creator of the universe sent his best for me. Like, his very best for me, so that I could be with him for eternity, and I don't deserve any of that. Like, there's no love greater than that. And just to kind of rest in that and remind myself of that daily has been, like, just amazing. And so, yeah, this semester has been really encouraging, just with, and all this stuff has to do with, like, the retreat, the discipleship group, and even, like, learning how apologetics really relates to all that stuff. But yeah, it's been awesome. And just, I don't know. I don't think a year ago I would have said, like, man, God asks all these things of me and it's good. And I do this because I love him and he loves me. And yeah, that's pretty much it. I have my family here. My mom, Felicia, they were here. I don't know if you guys recognize them. We came back from LT over the summer, and I brought them. So they came back. They're visiting me for the weekend. So my mom, Felicia, my little brother, Braden, and my sister, Gabby. But yeah, that's it.
Hi, guys. So my name is Caitlin. I'm a sophomore at ASU, and I'm studying sociology and family development. So this semester has been a lot about identity, but, like, mainly just in different areas for me, just getting to know, basically, like, if I want to get to know myself, I need to get to know my creator first. So it started off a lot with Tuesday night Bible studies talking about apologetics. It gave me, like, a lot of confidence, but the thing for me was that, like, I didn't need, like, to see the geological or biological proof of, like, creation, because I already believed in that. So for me, I just had lots of questions about people and, like, personality and, like, who we are. And one thing John Meyer said when he came was that if we have questions, we need to seek out the answers. So basically, what I did is I kind of started on this sort of journey of looking for sociological apologetics. I don't, that's a thing that I just made up, so I don't think. But yeah, and it kind of got me started on asking questions about biblical womanhood and what it means to reflect God's image as a woman. Yeah, and so when we went on the retreat, we talked about womanhood and we talked about identity, and that was just huge. And I just got to learn so much about, like, how Satan really, like, loves to tell lies to women. I mean, we saw it in the garden with Adam and Eve. Like, if Satan can take down the woman first, then everyone's going to fall. So I just kind of realized that, like, as a woman, I need to step up and stop ignoring my questions and start seeking out the answers. And Sean's been a huge help with that, just with sharing about how it's not really about each individual question. It's about how you need to learn how to think. And the Bible says a lot about, like, women in the church and things in general. But if I can look at that first, then it's sort of like learning about, like, when you work at a bank, you study, like, the real money so that you can find the counterfeit. So it's sort of like with those questions that are more subjective, it's like if I've gotten to know what God says in general, then I can be able to, like, discern what he might say about a specific question, which has been huge. And one of the things I learned is that lots of women struggle with biblical femininity because of fear. And we forget often about how biblical femininity is, it interacts with God and it interacts with biblical masculinity. And the role of, like, the men is to, like, protect and make us feel safe. So I kind of, like, got this realization of, in understanding my personality and who I am, that when I feel safe, especially as a woman, but I think for people in general, when I feel, like, protected, especially by God, then that's when I behave the most like myself. And that when I feel stressed or anxious, I can tend to sort of distort that identity. So that's been a huge way of just, like, looking at, like, who I am. And so speaking of, like, emotions and feelings, one of the other big things has been life practices and just learning about my past. Coming to the Well was crazy because this is my second year, so freshman year, like, coming to a group where everyone's so open and we, like, actually talk about past pain was huge. And I learned a lot about, like, myself and about my past. And I shared things that I'd never shared before. But with life practices, it was sort of like, okay, we've gone through all of that. Let's see where we are at now and, like, keep moving forward. So I kind of learned recently that in my past, I didn't feel like frustration was a feeling I was allowed to have. And it kind of created this belief that some emotions are good and other emotions are not okay to have, or there needs to be some huge event that happens so that those emotions are valid. And I learned that that's not really true, that, and that there's, you can have those emotions, and it doesn't mean something's wrong with you. It means that there's something you can be seeking out. There's something about yourself you can learn. And I feel like that's kind of where grace steps in. So I'm in Timo's Grace DG, and we've talked a lot lately about asserting ourselves and also, like, our roles in the church and what we can offer. So I've sort of just learned that in regards to, like, feelings of frustration, that it's not something that's meant to be hidden or put away or ignored. Like, there is a healthy way to express that. And if anything, it doesn't pull people apart. It pushes them together in unity, which has been huge. And so speaking of the Grace DG, that's been, like, super fun in just learning to understand, like, my sin and how God has given me so much grace that I can give to other people. Like, I don't generate grace by myself. I give people the grace that God's given me. And so with that and with learning about the church, it's been huge just seeing how if I can come to understand who I am and who God's made me to be in my relationship with him, then that can sort of echo in the church. And yeah, so it was really interesting because Brandon was talking about, like, that verse. I was thinking, like, man, we should do that sometime. And then all of a sudden, like, here we are, we're doing this. But so, yeah, it's just been huge learning about just my identity as a woman and my emotions and what God wants to do through that. He doesn't want me to just sit. He wants me to be learning more and more about him so I can learn about myself and so I can share that with other people. Yeah, so that's about it.
I think one of the things that's really clear when you interact with the students, if you get to spend time with them, if you're at events that they're at, is God is doing something. You get that sense, like growth, realizations, changes. And when other people have come down to interact with our students, when our students have gone places, the feedback we get is, you guys didn't understand. God's doing something. And for us to just really be humbled by the fact that God is working and he's doing things and growing, and every time I talk to them, I can't stop smiling. And just for us to be thankful for it, steward it, to realize it. So that's really encouraging, and I want to thank you guys for being courageous enough to come bless us with thoughts. We're slowly, maybe quickly, depending on who we are, getting to know you guys that have walked in the door. I felt like baptisms last week was super encouraging for everybody that got to come. It's fun to have a full house. Celebrate what God has done in lives. One of the things that I think is really true that's really happening in our church is faith is being expressed. So, you know, I was interacting with somebody this month, and they were just talking about all the fasting they were doing to seek God. And I was like, oh, there's faith. I was talking to somebody, and they were trying to put some teeth and some accountability for some things that they wanted to do, some sin they wanted to avoid, and they said, I guess you need to understand they're a football fan, and most football fans hate Tom Brady. I don't know if you know who that is. I don't particularly hate Tom Brady, but there are people that do, and they're most football fans in the world. This particular person was a fan of a rival team to Tom Brady's team. And so if he engages in this thing he does not want to engage in, if his accountability doesn't work, he has to donate $100 to the Tom Brady Foundation. And that hurts so much it keeps him from sin. And it's hilarious. And awesome that someone's so serious about following God that they'll put their money where their mouth is. And I love it. I love faith. I love pursuit of God. And there is faith in this church, and there are lessons, and there are things that we go after. Like, I will climb this mountain. And there are things that God just doeth to us in our circumstances. And we got to figure out how to walk through those things in faith. And I wanted to have a couple of people share about things that were a little bit out of their control that they had to walk through, and have people share about the faith they were able to grab in the middle of those trials. Beth, you want to start us? That'd be awesome. Let's give a hand to Beth.
Okay, well, I'm going to share a little story, and I think that a lot of you guys are somewhat familiar, but I will just start from the beginning anyways. So, in 2012, Nick and I were celebrating 5 years of marriage, and we went on a big vacation. We went to visit his sister in New Zealand, and he had just graduated, and it was just like a very exciting time. We weren't living with roommates anymore. His sister had been one of our roommates, and she had just moved to New Zealand. And so we were really excited about the future, and we felt very grown up at 25 and 27. And So we decided that it was the right time to add a baby. We were just like, oh, this is our big vacation. You know, we just traveled the world a little bit, and we were really optimistic and excited. And then that winter of the end of 2012 and the beginning of 2013 is when we found out that Nick had just been diagnosed with testicular cancer. So it felt like very odd irony that we had just been excited about a new chapter, and instead our new chapter was something very different. Thankfully, it was a relatively short chapter. He went through treatment for the winter and spring of 2013, and we had our family here. We had great health insurance, and we had a lot of really strong support system here with you guys. Nate even shaved his head along with Nick. It looked really terrible on him, but he did it anyways. and so it was scary, but I think we really felt that God was still being really faithful for us. And so so then the end of his treatment in the summer of 2013, we had talked to the doctors and kind of got cleared, and they're like, well, it's technically possible for you guys to conceive naturally and get pregnant, but like your odds aren't really that great, so just kind of do what you want to do, and then, you know, come back to us when you want to explore other options. So, I mean, thankfully we felt that we had options. It was like, okay, we're in America. Like, what are we supposed to do? Like, are we supposed to adopt? Are we supposed to foster? Are we supposed to wait? Are we supposed to do infertility? Like, what are we supposed to do? And so we didn't really know, and we didn't really have a whole lot. We didn't really have the right funds or really clarity on what the next step was. So we just kind of waited and prayed, and that was about 4 years where we waited and prayed, and then in the meantime, almost all of our friends got pregnant, and so, I mean, it was happy, but it was also really hard. And 2 years ago, I told myself I wasn't going to come to a Mother's Day church service until I had a baby too. So during this time, Nick was also going through a career change, and he went back to school, and just kind of we're trying to figure out what his permanent career path would be. And there are a few verses that were really helpful. Psalms 55:22, cast your burden on the Lord and he will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. And Joshua 21:45, not one word of all the good promises that the Lord had made to the house of Israel had failed. All came to pass. So I'm not going to say that, like, I had, like, the most close and sweet time of my entire life over the 4 years, because there was really hard moments, but I felt confused and searching for a lot of it. But I will say that I never felt abandoned, and I never felt that God wasn't going to keep his promises. I just didn't really know what it would look like, and it's hard to not know, and so I just kind of was waiting. It was very interesting to me, like, growing up in the church and reading all the stories kind of over and over again, how many infertility stories there are in the Bible, and how it's something that I feel that God really, like, is really near and dear to his heart, and he really understands. When that's hard for people like Sarah and Rachel and even Elizabeth, who I'm named after, all went through a lot of hard times, but they all received the baby that they prayed for. The story is not much of a cliffhanger because I'm very clearly pregnant. We're due in January, and I was actually, while I was in California, not attending church, but at a family reunion on Mother's Day, I actually was pregnant, which is kind of funny. I just didn't know it yet. And then Nick also, I don't know if you guys know, but he got a full-time job, and he just finished his first week, which is also exciting. So, God is good, and even though his timing doesn't make sense, and I feel like I haven't seen the full big picture yet, it's still just comforting to know that God is good.
finally got me. I can relate to so much of that struggle as well, not the pregnancy, but the just waiting on God. You like that one? All right, so I'm just going to share a little bit about my my trial in unemployment, and I think it's a really tough struggle for especially a man to go through a season of extended unemployment. So what happened exactly? I was laid off from my job in June of this year at PetSmart, and I think just being laid off and then not having my wife is at home with our kids, and we have four, and we have a house, and we have a mortgage, and we have lots of bills. And I think though there was some severance, I think there is just the stress. There's the stress and the immediate pressure of, and there's feelings and there's emotions that immediately come. And so I think there's also the job search process as well that adds to the intensity of the trial and the pressure and stress. Because when you go, you have to, you know, you're out of work. It's probably a week or two where you're kind of just dealing with the maybe anger or the trying to just process through just feeling rejected, abandoned, unworthy, you know, all that stuff's in the gospel, but there's still stuff there you have to process through. And then after that, there's the updating of the resume and the references and the contacting people for letters of recommendation, putting your resume on all kinds of job boards and walking around businesses, talking to managers and hiring managers. And then also I think, you know, you talk to recruiters, and some of the recruiters are really hard to understand, right? Cause they're from different countries and they're trying to get you plugged in, and there's some gap there in trying to connect with them. And then you get an interview. The interviews last from an hour to 3 hours with 1 to 12 people, and then after you go through all of that, then you're lucky to maybe get a callback, or you don't get a callback, or you know no one ever picks up the phone, or you get a callback and it's a second interview, and then that one doesn't come through, or you get the nice email that says all the emails that start with thank you are usually the rejection ones. So the ones that start with thank you, Mike, for your time, but we've selected another candidate. So you get those, and as it goes from, the hard thing is, as you go from those, from weeks into months, and then how do you handle it? What are you left to believe, you know, especially too, is that kind of the money gets scarce. So I think that's just kind of where the pressure and stress comes, and so how do you handle it? Was God still good? Is he still trustworthy? Is he still loving? Well, I knew that, you know, the answers to all those things were yes. And I think just there's the temptation, you know, for my emotions and my feelings, you know, just to take me down this path of disappointment, discouragement. You know, if you really let it go down there, despair, and then it's depression. You're depressed, and then the next step is people commit suicide. My dad committed suicide in a very similar situation to this. Just completely lost all hope, lost all despair, and lost his whole identity in life. And so I always connect with that during this time, just thinking about my dad as well. But I think what I just chose to do, and it's a choice, what you choose to do differently is to believe and cling to the promises of God. Beth shared her promises too. You know, these ones are all Jeremiah 29. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you a hope and a future. Isaiah 26:3, you will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast because he trusts in you. John 14:27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Isaiah 41:10, so do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you and uphold you with my righteous right hand. Matthew 6:33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you as well. And Romans 8:28, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. And I think in just, you know, where it can just be my, maybe the work or the money can be my identity, I just continue just to dig in. And that was just a lot of support too from just the church as well. It's not my myself, but just digging in to the promises of God, and just keeping the Jesus as and the gospel at the center of my life. I just continue to lead my wife and lead my family and pray and read and encourage us into great things and activities. And I just, you know, during this time, we just saw amazing answers to prayer. I just think amazing answers to prayer and just provision and just support of our local church. We had actually just hundreds of dollars in Walmart gift cards anonymously show up in the mail, and those definitely encourage us and keep us going. Even received a check for $1,500, you know, from a dear family in the church too. And as we just continued to receive just the support, I was just overwhelmed and just thought about the church in Acts, about how in some way too they just you know, as people sold things and had money, they would come and bring it to the apostles' feet, and they would be distributed to people as they had need. And we were in some way just experiencing a piece of that goodness, God's goodness in the church. And I was even in the midst of all this too, an auto accident, and in that we were able to get a substantial amount of money to kind of carry us through the next month. So there's just all these just really hard things going on, but I think the thing that really just kept us above the waves was just believing in God's promises. So over just the time of, you know, we were kind of got through the severance, and then we were into the month now where the severance ran out, and so and had a little bit of unemployment. I was actually we were bringing our income was about maybe less than a quarter of what we were making, and then we got our budget down to about half, but still, where was the other, you know, $1,000 coming from? So we just continued to have great faith and saw God just come through. And there were some really hard days too. I really appreciate Brandon was there a lot for me, you know, just being a listening ear and encouraging, and Scott. And I think every man in the church, I think was in some form of a text to me. You know, we were kind of texting, and I just had a lot of encouragement during those times. You know, Josh and Eddie and sending me job links, and I just really appreciate all that stuff, time, because you really do, as a man, you really get down. You're supposed to work, right? You're supposed to work and do things, and now you're out of work, and now I feel purposeless. But I know my purpose isn't Jesus, but I need to be doing something. So it's just really, really difficult. So I appreciate appreciate the church stepping in there and you know, just continuing to think of us. So that was awesome. And what was the result? The result was just, you know, after, you know, God just comes through. He comes through for Nick and Beth and gives him a kid. He comes through for me and gives me a great job, a very humbling job as a manager at American Express, you know, starting out there, and great career, great financial blessing for our family. And God just comes through. And it's true that, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you a hope in the future. And God's promises are true. They do come true to believe those things. So yeah, I think throughout it all, I was just really just overcome by, I was able to overcome and endure because of just clinging to God and his promises. The really key thing is just the love for the gospel, love for your local church, the relationships, dig in, be open, honest, vulnerable, and then just see God continue to come through, just the strength of the church. I think that was awesome. And then just, yeah, I was just overflowing with thankfulness throughout the entire trial. So thanks for everything. Yeah, my wife and kids were just awesome. And then, this last verse, Romans 15:13, towards the end, I really just felt like this joy and peace. It says, Romans 15:13, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. So it was just amazing. Even towards the end of the trial, I didn't even know if this American Express job was going to come through or not. But I just thought, well, you know, my joy and peace was still there because it's in Jesus and it's in the gospel and it's in the right places. It's not in my work. It's not in my money. It's not in my wife. It's my kids. It's in Jesus. And when the hope is placed there, there's just this kind of consistency that I felt like I could, though I was different from the beginning to the end, I felt like when I got the job and came through, it was, I didn't have all the emotion or the big emotional swings up and down, because God's promises really do carry us. So yeah, praise God. And That's our story a little bit. Thanks, guys.
Nick, I'm out of battery. So, that was encouraging. Oh my. I could have a lot of comments on all that. I'll just make one here about Mike, since we just heard it. You know, there's a trial of losing a job that Mike walked through in Colorado. And, he just bought a house, and then he lost a job, and he lost his house. He ended up he sold his house because the job trial was too long, and he ended up selling his house, and that was really hard. Part of that trial is what brought him here, so we're not too sad. But that was really hard, and so then he bought a house recently, and then lost his job again. Can you imagine that fear? And I have not seen, someone who walked through an extended time of being, without a job as well as Mike did. And he just clung to the gospel. And I always would leave phone calls with him very, very encouraged. Like, he should not be as encouraged as he is. But the Holy Spirit was strong, and he clung to the Holy Spirit. You know you're doing well when your wife's amazed. and so I just wanted to underscore just faith that is really happening. Right? We look at the heroes of the faith in the Bible that are trusting God even though there's no money. And heroes of the faith that are trusting God even though it seems like pregnancy is impossible. And yet, in our own midst, there can be that same kind of faith. And I'm just really proud of faith in our church in all kinds of places. And I had about 10 things that I was encouraged in, but we're kind of out of time, which is awesome. That there's enough stories of hope and God's promises and things to be encouraged by that we can't do it in the morning. And I suppose that's true, right? Like Sean said, he could have 25 people up here. And that is a blessing. Well, I want to humbly just thank God for our church, and then we can be done. Lord, we tell you, God, we would not make it alone. And we thank you for your Spirit and for you through your church. And I thank you for the people here. I thank you for the faith they've displayed. I thank you for the encouragement that they are to us. God, and may our lives and our faith continue to encourage one another. Gotta tell you, I'm humbled. I'm humbled to be around people of faith. Faith through brokenness, faith through trials, faith to seek you. And Lord, I want to close, God, where we started. Thank you for your cross. Thank you for your Spirit. Thank you for your Lordship in our lives. Lord, we declare you this morning as good and awesome. In Jesus' name, amen. All right.